Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to a live edition of the Dogs Podcast, kicking off free agency with you guys this year, coming off a two-week hiatus. Before we even jump into the episode, I think we should stop and congratulate Josh.
Yes.
Josh is a married man now.
Yes. Yeah.
He on got wick. He went and got married at East La Sorna.
We actually did go check out Jurassic Park Ranch.
The pictures, I was very jealous.
That's it was so awesome back in there. It was so cool.
It looked awesome.
Yep. I can talk
live to tell about it. So that's good.
They didn't, yes.
So Josh, now married man, everybody jump in the comments. Congratulations. Congratulate him. Him and John will be very happy together. another person I want to give a huge congrats to on an accomplishment before we jumped into this episode. As you guys all know, Kenny Mack's a big fan of this show. He was made VP of the Browns backers worldwide, which puts him in line to be president of all of the Browns backers next year.
So crazy.
So
good for you, Kenny Mack.
We're gonna know royalty, essentially.
We are
been too. Knowing.
We are knowing, but you know, officially.
Yeah.
Officially.
So everybody give Kenny Mack a huge congrats to on his awesome accomplishment. And maybe Justin and I will do something worthwhile this year.
Yes. We're trying. Yes. It's a struggle.
It's early March. You got plenty of time.
Yeah, we got 9 months. I'm gonna really kick it into high gear.
Don't put money on either one of us doing anything.
I saw somebody mention my old school jersey. I decided to said to bust it out today.
That's very nice.
That's nice.
Thank you. Fun episode today. Not just Browns. Browns obviously made big news with the trade of Jerry Jeudy before free agency happened. Just on the way here, re-signed a couple guys. We're going to get into that. We're also going to cover some of the highlights from around the league in terms of free agency. Some of the surprising moves or big moves we've seen so far early today. I think it's going to be a fun episode we got lined up. Before we do, though, we're letting the chat fill up. Remember, you can find us on all the socials, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. If you haven't done so already, make sure you tap the notification bell so you don't miss any of the new content we're putting out. Hopefully the Browns keep providing us with content all off season, and we will keep bringing it to you. If you prefer just listen to the show, you can go find us on Apple, Spotify, and Google. We'll be right under the most listened to podcast on Spotify. It goes us and then Joe Rogan, so you can't miss us.
That is the new order. Yep.
Yeah. You can't miss us on there. Lastly, if you're looking for more Dogs content, head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member on the Patreon page, play fantasy football during the season. You can play fantasy NASCAR racing right now, if that's what you're into. Extra episode every week, access to the private Discord, meet people from all over. We had like our own personal Adam Schefter in the Discord today.
Yep.
I didn't have to check Twitter. Bro. I had to check his. Every time somebody got signed or was thinking about getting signed or took a shit, I knew about it like instantly.
People shout him out. He's in the chat.
Yeah. Truth Senpai, old Brad Moneymaker.
That's just right. Dropping. Boy.
Non-stop dropping. I knew everything that was going on in real time. I felt like Adam Schefter.
It was unreal.
So the Discord is the place to be. Stay on top of everything in terms of Browns and just league related, games related, movies related, pretty much anything that happens in life, we cover it in the Discord. So if you're interested, join the dogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member. So I think we should leave the show off. I think the big news for the Browns so far, they go out, get the receiver that they've kind of been targeting for 2 years now in Jerry Jeudy. How'd you guys feel about this? Because I know when we talked about last year wanting him, I was always kind of on the side of he's not worth what they're asking. It was never that I thought Jerry Jeudy just straight up couldn't play football. I just thought what they wanted to get for him in terms of compensation, they were being crazy because he hadn't done that so far.
I think we need to remind everybody too exactly what you're talking about. So last year the Broncos were saying a first round pick is essentially what they wanted for Jerry Jeudy, and then when the Browns didn't have that, because we talked to them about trading, and then it became what, the second round pick that we ended up using for Elijah Moore and Cedric Tillman, second round pick plus a starting level player.
Yeah.
And the Browns just weren't willing to do that. And I don't think Jerry Jeudy was worth that.
No.
That's right. Based on, I mean, I think he's a good player. So let me just start off saying that. I think he's a really good player. I think he's got a lot of potential, but his on-field proven production has been less than what I think people expected. Given his acumen and everything coming out of college, he was like the elite stud coming out of Alabama.
15th overall pick.
Yep.
Yes.
But to get him for a fifth and a sixth, sign me up all day.
Oh, yeah. Right. I've seen a lot of people bitching about, well, not a lot. A couple people have been bitching about, oh, I can't believe they gave up. We could have used that fifth round pick. I'm like,
for what?
What?
Don't get me wrong. Like, I know Andrew Berry like has done well with like late round picks, but like,
I feel like if you go into a draft and you are looking for players that you need to hit on in the fifth and sixth, the kind of production you're looking to get out of those players is at the bare minimum what Jerry Jeudy has done in his career so far. Correct. And he has a much higher ceiling. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not the Tom Brady's and the Terrell Davis's or whatever. Like, those guys, those aren't your everyday.
Somebody said, well, Puka Nacua was a fifth round pick last year. And I'm like, that's why he's Puka Nacua.
Like that kind of stuff doesn't happen all the time. If you're not looking for starters in the fifth and sixth round, you're looking for depth pieces.
Exactly.
We just used a fifth and sixth and got a starter. And let's be clear. He might not have been, he has not lived up to being the 15th overall pick yet. He's still the second best receiver on our team.
I agree. Yep.
Hands down.
Yep. Okay. And he has a very good skill set. And I know a lot of people are thinking Jerry Jeudy can now go play the outside. We can move Elijah Moore into the slot and all this stuff. I've actually seen a lot of stuff. Jerry Judy's very good in the slot.
Yes, he is.
And Elijah Moore is actually better outside.
Okay.
So I think this gives versatility to move. I look, Amari Cooper will be, I think this just, it's more versatility for the offense. We're going to be spread out, and I think it's going to be very matchup based on who we're looking to get going. We can move into the slot. They can all play all the positions now. And then you still got David Njoku there to control the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very good get for a fifth, and there's no downside here. He's in the last year of his rookie deal, right on his fifth year option.
Yep.
Okay. So if he comes out and he goes crazy and he's everything we want him to be, he's your new number one.
Exactly.
Okay. Yep. And if he comes out and he's hurt for 14 games and he does nothing and he's terrible, well, one, you'll probably be able to either sign him back cheap or no harm, no foul, he's gone.
Yep. Exactly.
And all you're out was a couple of late round draft picks.
Which we'll get back at some point. I mean, he traded Dobbs for a fifth last year, so Andrew Berry's fine. He'll get his picks back.
Yeah. So it's one of those things, like, there's zero negative to this trade, in my opinion.
No, same here. So if you follow, and the nice thing about getting an offensive player like a receiver, if you follow a lot of fantasy football information and analytics, this stuff translates to the NFL field. And one metric that a lot of people use to gauge rookie receivers is the 500-yard benchmark. If a rookie receiver comes out and hits 500 yards, their chance of being a hit at the NFL level is exponentially higher than if they don't hit 500 as a rookie. He had 856 as a rookie, and that was with Drew Lock, Jeff Driskel, and Brett Rippon.
Yeah,
as at quarterback, and this guy was able to do that. So I think, I know we talk all the time about Deshaun Watson will be fine if he just stays on the field. We got to have consistent quarterback play, but if that happens, dude, I think Jerry Jeudy could have a very nice season.
I agree.
Yeah, it's one of those things where the Broncos have been a dumpster fire.
Yes.
Since he's been there.
Yeah,
people think the Browns have been. There's a few candidates out there for like worst dumpster fires the last decade. It's not just the Browns by themselves. I would say the Browns have not been the biggest dumpster fire, especially not of the last 5 years. And if you go back to the, you would probably still have to put us in the discussion for the last decade because we had a 1-31 stretch in there.
Yep.
But we're getting closer to being away from that
every day.
Yes, but the Broncos have not had a quarterback since Peyton Manning.
That's fair. No. 2022 was the first year they got Russell Wilson. Okay. Do you remember? Do you guys remember? Because I don't know the exact stat, but they were one of the worst efficient offenses. Remember, like the lowest scoring offenses in how long?
Yeah. I don't know. It was under like Nathaniel Hackett, right?
Yeah. It was a long time. So that offense in 2022 was historically bad, not just bad for that season, but historically bad. And yet Jerry Jeudy almost had 1,000 yards. He had 67 receptions, 972 yards, and 6 touchdowns in 15 games on one of the worst historically worst offenses ever.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
I'm impressed with what he's been able to do given where he's been, who he's dealt with. Nathaniel Hackett, you mentioned. It's been a shit show in Denver.
And sometimes you just need a change of scenery.
Exactly.
Sometimes a change of scenery is all you need. I know we expected more out of Elijah Moore last year, but there were times, especially considering that we were on our fourth quarterback and stuff like that, he showed glimpses last year. And compared to what he did as last year in New York, it was night and day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like sometimes just a change of scenery is all a guy needs. I really feel like the addition of Ken Dorsey and blending his offensive concepts with what Kevin Stefanski does well, I think as long as Deshaun Watson can stay healthy and can stay on the field this year, I think the offense has a chance to be super dynamic.
So now I'm going to throw out a name and we're going to go like, oh, that's shooting for the moon. But there's another player in the NFL right now who his first four seasons never hit 1,000 yards. It wasn't very good coming right out as a rookie. And people thought, oh, maybe it was a swing and a miss for the Packers with Davante Adams. It wasn't until his fifth season he broke 1,000 yards. He did have more touchdowns in those first 4 years than Jeudy, but he was also playing with Aaron Rodgers all 4 years.
Yep.
So
who was with him though? Like he was competing
Jordy
with
touches Nelson. Against
yep.
with like some crazy
Randall big guys. Cobb, I think. Yeah.
Was in Greg Jennings there? Or is that
maybe
is that
at the beginning.
Old?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like he was competing with like he's supposed to be the one
right
in Denver. And Davante Adams his first few years was the third or fourth option.
True. I mean I think Cortland Sutton honestly viewed as
probably the
outside, your outside receiving threat, but
no, I see what you're saying, and like I said, the change of scenery, and he's got the skill set. He's a great route runner. He gets separation. I think he can play well. I think the Browns will still address wide receiver in the draft.
I do too.
I just don't think it'll be with that top pick now.
No, now you have the luxury. We were talking about that on the after hours. Whatever you want to do now, really at two, because we've got the edge, we've got a defensive tackle, we've got the receiver.
I would say it depends on what happens the rest of the way in free agency. I think if we land like a DJ Reader, which we were going to talk about, I think there's a chance that first pick's going to be a guard, an interior offensive lineman. And I think if we address guard or something like that in free agency, which I think I'm less inclined to believe, I think we would look for somebody cheap because I don't think we're going to move up a Tony or Teller right away. But we're going to look for somebody talented to kind of groom behind them because I don't see either one of those guys getting another contract. Maybe Joel because he's like a legacy Browns player, but I don't know if White Teller gets another contract here. But we'll see. That would break my heart, by the way.
Yeah.
Because I love White Teller. So I could see us going interior offensive line early in the draft. I know people, there's still a lot of talk. We lost Anthony Walker about linebacker. We just, until I see us put an emphasis on that position, I'm not going to think we're going to spend a high draft pick on that position. Until it actually happens, I'm not going to talk about that.
Yeah, and I mean, I talked with Barry Shuck about some of the guys coming out in the draft that can be got third, fourth, fifth round. Yep. So there were guys later in the draft, I think, that, and that's probably where Andrew Barry's going to strike at that position, would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about Jeremiah Trotter Jr. early on, though. Just, I don't know where he's going to end up being. Sometimes I see him projected second round, third round, but he might be a guy the Browns could be interested in. But as far as receiver goes, I love this Jerry Jeudy trade. I love getting him this year instead of last year.
Oh,
for this price.
For a first round pick or a second round pick in the starting player, I would have not been happy with the move.
No.
But you saw Andrew Berry, which is another reason why I think the Browns like really have a great front office and GM. There was no panic.
No panic.
You know what I mean? Like GM or like Andrew Berry, he wanted him and he wanted to upgrade, but he doesn't reach. He doesn't panic and be like, well, I got to do it and overspend. And you know what I mean? I guess the only thing you could maybe say we've done that with is Deshaun. And, mm-hmm. and even then, like quarterback's a way different position.
It's a position you have to do that. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. We just saw what the Falcons do with Kirk Cousins.
Paid him a lot of money.
He's coming off an Achilles not that long ago.
Yeah. Yep. So it's one of the, like, but you just see him. He's patient. He finds the guy he wants. He targets in, and then he goes and gets guys like Amari Cooper for a fifth. Jerry Jeudy, instead of getting him for a first, like he could have 6 months ago, he gets him for a fifth and a sixth. I think Andrew Berry he's very good. And that's why some Browns fans who are kind of panicking because we haven't done much so far. It's like, just give the guy a chance first.
Yep. Yeah.
And what do a lot of these teams have in common who go crazy on the first day?
Money.
They all sucked last year.
And they're missing very good. And they're missing key positional yes, pieces.
They're missing,
that's why there's money.
Yes, they're missing a lot. I think we all know that there's not a ton of holes on the Browns. If you brought the Browns back the exact same squad from last year and you brought them all back this year and you just put a healthy running back, a healthy Nick Chubb, and a healthy Deshaun Watson out there, I think we all agree that we're getting to 11, 12, 13 wins.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we were talking about that too on the after hours, saying if they just run it back with that same defense, that's great. Yeah. That's what I expected them to do. I think there was a lot of careless reporting and stuff going around on Twitter about Christian Wilkins. The Browns, of course the Browns would have interest in him, but it's not realistic. I mean, he went for almost $30 million a year.
Yep.
Andrew Berry's not paying $30 million a year for a defensive tackle, guys. No. Come on.
Not when we can get guys like Mo Hurst back on a 2 or 1 year deal for like $2 million or something.
Who can
play and compliment Myles Garrett and stuff like that well.
We have Dalvin Tomlinson, who's making $14 million a year. Mm-hmm. He's locked in as our defensive the main guy.
Yep. Yep.
And Andrew Berry's already shown, like you said, I can fill the rest of that interior defensive line position with cheaper one-year contract guys who can contribute on a rotational basis. And Mo Hurst was the guy I wanted back more than any of them.
Yep, Mo Hurst.
And we got him.
Yep, and you got to think Ika is going to get a shot sometime.
Yep.
He's a third round pick. I would hope they got.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, I think we were just kind of, we were so deep at interior D line last year.
Yeah.
With guys who were playing well.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, we didn't know Jordan Elliott was going to make the team. Then he had his best season.
He ended up being a starter.
Yeah. Shelby Harris played well.
Yeah. So there just wasn't a lot of room for Ika last year. And why not just give the guy a chance to develop?
And DT is a position that does take more time than others to transition to in the NFL.
They need to figure out the road. I couldn't agree more, 100%. Yeah. I'm not saying the team was perfect, but I think everybody knows that you don't accidentally win 11 games. You know what I mean?
Especially with all those injuries.
Yeah, so the Browns were a solid team. They just needed to make some adjustments, do some tweaking, improve some little things here, look at some philosophies. That's why you go and you make a couple coaching changes. You bring in a guy like Ken Dorsey to kind of infuse the offense with some of his passing concepts. We don't need – it's not a total overhaul. We're not overhauling the team like we usually have to. It's just little tweaks. We're a playoff team.
This episode is presented by Omaha Steaks. Browns fans, the 50% off site-wide sale is still happening over at omahasteaks.com/dogs. Head over there today. Make sure you take advantage of this 50% off sale on everything on their website. Plus, go to that URL/dogs. And then if you use promo code dogs when you check out, you get $30 off your order. This is a deal you cannot beat, especially with the price of meat and all food and just everything right now is sky high. It's just stupid. But this kind of sale, now this meat is the best stuff you guys can get. I'm telling you right now, I've been talking about it for years. The steaks are my absolute favorite. I love them. The burgers, the jumbo franks, brats, the chicken, the pork, all the seafood. They've got the ready-to-eat meals, desserts. They even have wine and things like that.
Just go to omahasteaks.com/dogs, check out everything they have to offer, and make sure that you use promo code dogs when you check out. Get $30 off your order, omahasteaks.com/dogs. Minimum order may apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay. Another guy I think we should talk about. We kind of switched it up talking about the defense. On the way in, or basically on the way in here, we re-signed Za'Darius Smith.
It's huge.
Yes.
A 2-year deal, mm-hmm. $23 million, up to worth 25, I think, with mm-hmm. incentives. I think that's a great get for the Browns.
Yeah,
I agree.
I know last year, so he had 18 solo tackles, 5.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble. Like his stats don't jump off the page, yeah, you know, and I'm not looking much deeper. Like I'm not looking at any next gen stats. Maybe those are different. Maybe those are a little better, but to me, it was his attitude, his effort, the way he fit into the locker room, the culture he helped bring. I think he got the best out of Miles.
I mean, his play was good too, man. And like, I think it's
he played well, but we even talked about, there were times where, we were at, in such attack mode, the teams played so cautious against us at times, especially mm-hmm. at home. Mm-hmm. On the road, it was different, but at home, it's like it was dink and dunk city.
Yep. It was, we talked about it so much. The quarterback would literally snap the ball. It wouldn't even find the laces. It would just catch, get rid of it.
Yeah.
So and when people are talking about, oh, well, the sack numbers weren't there, did you see our 3-and-outs forced? Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's essentially a turnover right there. When a team comes out, they run 3 plays and they're off the field because our defensive line is in their face. That, I mean, how are you supposed to sack a guy when he doesn't have the ball? You can't.
Yeah, he, and like I said, I think he brought the best out of Miles. Like he was a good running mate for Miles in terms of just like keeping his energy up. Miles knew he had a guy over on the other side who could play at a high level. Like I felt like they complemented each other extremely well.
And Justin mentioned earlier, Obo.
Rotating
in with those guys.
Yeah, love that rotation.
And Alex Wright even. He had 5.5 sacks, and I thought Alex Wright actually had a sneakily quiet,
solid season.
Yeah, really solid season.
Yep. Yeah, especially for a guy who's still coming into his own, you know, and we're not depending on him to be a premier pass rusher. He's essentially fourth on the depth chart in terms of edge rusher. And I thought when he got to play and get snaps, he flashed.
Yes, he did.
So if he can continue to take that next step, he'll be right in line when Za'Darius is off this two-year contract. Alex Wright might be coming into his prime, might be blossoming. So that's and I think it says a lot about Za'Darius, the person. Like, he got a good deal to stay in Cleveland, but he could have went out, hit free agency, really tested it, played the Browns off people, really tried to get himself like a longer-term deal, maybe more money, but I think he liked being in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I think he did too.
His personality, like that attitude of the defense, I think fit well. I mean, they all kind of, I think they all like playing together.
And people like playing for Jim Schwartz.
Yes.
People like being the best.
And they like being good.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like if we came out last year and we sucked, he probably doesn't come back and do this. But he played on one of the best defenses in football, a team that went to the playoffs. Like, I think he kind of found a home a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
We already kind of touched on Mo Hurst coming back. So that right now, that is like the main news for the Browns in terms of who they've actually signed. A couple of things I wanted to talk about. Supposedly, the Browns have shown interest in Zach Moss. He played for the Colts last year. He was originally with the Bills. Does that name interest you? Because I know like people, Jacobs end up going to Green Bay, which frees up Aaron Jones. That's another name I want to throw out there.
Yep.
Saquon got a huge deal to go to Philadelphia, which – is kind of hilarious to me because the Giants are such a dumpster fire and they messed with this guy for a couple years in a row now. And he jumped ship and went to their in division rival.
He's going
to
destroy them.
You know what I mean? Like it's, if the Eagles can figure their offensive philosophy out a little bit and be more than the same two plays in the tush push, if they can get back to some of the stuff that they were doing with Steichen, they're loaded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you can get – and if Jalen Hurts can cut back on his turnovers and play more like he did 2 years ago, and they got Brown and Devontae Smith and Saquon now, like,
Dallas Goedert, they're loaded, bro. They have a great offensive line. Even with Kelsey retiring, they still have a really good offensive line.
By the way, I watched the Kelsey documentary. It was awesome. Yeah.
I didn't watch that yet. Okay.
I have to do that.
It's very good. Made me like both of them even more.
Okay. Yeah.
Zach Moss, I think that is more the kind of running back the Browns are looking at. 100%. But I would 1,000,000% be calling Aaron Jones.
Oh, yep. We talked. So before we dive into Aaron Jones or Zach Moss, shout out to Kenny Mack. Mm-hmm. Because I did an episode with Kenny Mack about a week ago. We talked about potential cap casualties who could be fits for the Browns. And he brought Aaron Jones to the table. And I thought that's a great pick. He was likely to get cut considering his situation. He got cut. I think he would fit. I think he'd be awesome.
He's the perfect running mate for Nick Chubb. He can be your one, and he can be your every down back until Chubb is healthy.
Yes.
And then when Chubb comes back, he's already split carries. Mm-hmm. So with A.J. Dillon, he's already been in this role. He would be a perfect complement to Nick Chubb. All the things that he excels at are the things that you could consider Nick Chubb's weakness if he has one in terms of, like, catching the ball out of the backfield, being a receiving back. But he's great at that.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. And I know we talk about age with running backs a lot, but he's one of the exceptions because we saw – now, he was injured a lot this past season, but when he got back to healthy and through their playoff run, they leaned on him.
That Dallas game, he
carried that load like he was a young man again.
I don't understand the Packers' philosophy. Like, it's like they were trying to force A.J. Dillon. And anytime you watched – you were like, Aaron Jones is clearly the best running back.
Yeah.
It almost reminded me a little bit of the Commanders with Antonio Gibson. And every time Antonio Gibson would get extended touches, he would play well. But every week they were like phasing him out more and more out of the game.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I didn't understand what they were doing.
Commanders just got a new running back, by the way.
Eckler, I saw.
Okay, they pop it in there.
Really?
Hopefully they feed him the rock.
For your dynasty team. But back to like Zach Moss, though, I do, you know, if Aaron Jones thing doesn't work out, a guy like Zach Moss would be
perfect. I like it.
Because we need some sort of running back filler. Somebody to help offset Jerome Ford while Nick Chubb is recovering because it can't not just be Jerome Ford.
Look what he just did. Jonathan Taylor sits out, you know, injured,
right?
Or you know, case of the the contractees or whatever you want to call it. But he filled that role and he was good. There was times where you'd watch a Colts game and be like, man, they probably should just let Zach Moss run it. Now you have Jonathan Taylor, you can't do that. But I thought that he looked great and. I think he just he needed an opportunity and he got it. He looked excellent last year. And I wouldn't mind. You could get him probably super cheap.
Who, Zach Moss?
Yes.
Hopefully. I think if we had to go between the two, I would think the market for Aaron Jones would be hotter.
For sure.
The only thing, how old Zach Moss? Do we know?
26 ish.
So maybe the market cools on Jones a little bit because
he's 29.
Age.
Yeah.
Moss is 29?
No.
Jones is 29.
Okay, but he's still on the right side of 30. I don't know when his birthday is. but no, I would kick the tires on both those guys. Those are the kind of, those two backs, like before Aaron Jones was going to become available, I was all in on the idea of Zach Moss. I just think I liked him the last few years, and I think he would complement Chubb perfect, and then you could slide Jerome Ford into that, you know, get
change
him,
of pace,
change of pace,
pass catch,
four or five touches a game, whatever. He can go back to kick returning kicks. Maybe you teach him to catch punts, you know, something like that. Because, I think Ford showed flashes at times, but there was just not a lot of his trajectory was like, is very topsy turvy.
His efficiency was around 2 yards a carry for the season.
Now, maybe
if you take out, he had eight. Because I did a show,
eight
breakaway runs all season. That was it, just eight of them. And so much of his yardage came on those eight big runs.
And to people who say, well, you can't just take out his best runs to look at, well, then take out his eight best runs and then go take out his eight worst runs.
And I guarantee you, it's bad. Yeah.
And I don't want to crap on Jerome Ford. He stepped in and statistically, if you look at his numbers as a whole, they were decent. But it, man, we were in a lot of bad down and distances because of just not hitting a hole. Now, maybe some of that changes with a healthier O-line, a healthy quarterback who's a threat, more wide receivers on the outside. Maybe some of that changes. Who knows? Maybe a change in the running back coach room. Maybe Deuce Staley can get something out of him that Stump wasn't able to. But yeah, I would not want to go into the season relying solely on Jerome Ford to be our number one back until Chubb is back.
No, and I think the Browns know that.
Yeah. Zach Moss, just so anybody knows, 26 years old. And with Aaron Jones, I heard this on the way in, there is a lot of smoke about him ending up in Dallas. Hometown.
Yeah, and they got a running back spot.
They have a very open running back spot.
That would make sense, and he would fit. I mean, he'd do that offense.
Oh my God, he'd be crazy there.
Yes,
if you're an Aaron Jones fantasy owner, please go to Dallas. Yes.
So if we're going to talk running backs real quick, so I'm just going to run through who got signed today. So we said Jacobs to Green Bay, Barkley to Philly, Tony Pollard went to Tennessee, DeAndre Swift to Chicago, Devin Singletary actually signed with the Giants. I didn't see that one.
Yep.
Antonio Gibson with the Patriots, Gus Edwards with the Chargers, Austin Eckler with Washington. So that leaves, like you said, Aaron Jones, Derrick Henry, Alexander Mattison. Zeke is still out there, who I thought looks like he's definitely lost a few steps, but
he played well for the Patriots, though.
Yeah.
He came in and looked.
They're honest to God, you watched the Patriots offense last year, and he might have been their best player.
Zeke, honestly, if you're looking for somebody to shoulder the load early in the season whenever you're the healthiest,
yes,
until Nick Chubb comes to as close to full speed as he's going to get this year, he might not be a bad option.
Mark, yes, we do know. We talked about that early in the show. Thanks for being here, buddy. Also, I want to address, Andrew Jackson said, go watch the Colts film. Minshew threw it in the dirt after the sacks. Is that a draft day?
A reference?
Reference, Andrew Jackson. Every time Vontae Mack sacked Bo Callahan, the next play, throw it in the dirt. He had happy feet. I think
that's
it was.
Right.
I want to see if I was right. Is Jerry Jeudy on fifth-year option? Yes, he is. Another good point about Jerry Jeudy, if we backtrack here, people were talking about not wanting to give up the pick. Somebody, I forget who it was, brought up a good point in the chat. Those were extra fifth and sixth-round picks.
We have doubles in both those rounds.
We still have fifth and sixth-round picks.
Yes.
Right.
You know
what
I mean? So it's not like we're out picks now, and now we're going into the draft depleted. We still have our fifth and sixth-round
picks. Right. We had seven picks to begin with. Like you said, four of them were in the fifth and sixth. So now we have two in the fifth, down to five picks, but it wasn't like we gave up seconds and thirds. Jerry Jeudy's a pretty good receiver.
Yeah, he's automatically the second best receiver on our team.
Yep.
With the potential to, like you said, if he plays and balls out and really, really explodes this year, he's your new number one receiver in Cleveland.
I think Cooper being with him too, I think that's absolutely huge. I think he needs a guy just to kind of like take him under his wing and go, hey man, this is like what being a pro, you know. Gage was talking about it. Nick Lopez sent it in the text group, but he said, you know, like this was a guy, Cooper, that like Jerry Jeudy, like kind of like looked up to. Like he was a guy that when he went to Alabama, that's who he wanted to be. That's who, you know, like that was his role model. And I think like these two linking back up together, I think Amari Cooper is going to have a huge effect on this guy's progression as, you know, you head into the season.
One thing I wanted to mention earlier about Jeudy was I know one knock on him I've seen people say is, well, he drops the ball too much.
I saw that too.
10 drops in his rookie season, which was pretty high.
Yeah.
He's had 8 drops the last 3 years combined. He only had 2 last season. And I put in there a guy like Tyreek Hill had 12 drops last year.
Yep.
He was arguably the best receiver in the league. So Jerry Jeudy is pretty sure-handed. He came into the league touted for his route running and his catching ability, his hands. Mm-hmm. And he's got speed.
Yep.
That's the thing. This guy can do what we've been wanting a receiver to come here and do.
And to kind of touch on like Cooper being good for him, I don't think it's just Cooper anymore either. If you look at the Browns team as a whole, some of the core of these guys, we got pros. I like Elijah Moore.
Yeah.
I think Elijah Moore has been nothing but a model citizen for Cleveland, had a great attitude in his role. He came in and he's an outside wide receiver and we're putting him, asking him, asking him to be Deebo Samuel.
Right.
You know what I mean? You didn't hear him complaining about it. He went out there. He tried to get, he wasn't very good at it.
No.
But you didn't hear him bitching and complaining about it. He was doing whatever coach was asking him to do. Did he put up the numbers maybe that he thought he was going to do coming in last year? No, you didn't hear him complain one time. He went out there to handle business. David Njoku is a guy who went from like demanding trades, had case of drops early in his career to a top three tight end in the league. And he's the example of everything you want a Cleveland Brown to be. Like,
yes.
We got guys on this team now who can kind of bring a young guy in who's maybe not had the success he thought he was going to have early. Maybe he's a little down on himself. Maybe there's some, you know, people have talked about his attitude. This is the kind of team you can come to now who can like develop you and coach you up, show you how to be a pro, teach you those kinds of things. I think 5 years ago, we weren't that team.
No.
You know what I mean?
We like, destroyed those kids.
We destroyed those kids. A guy like who, surprise, we might have on the show, like a Corey Coleman.
Yeah, we might be talking to him soon.
Yeah. You know, we destroyed guys like that. Freaking Todd Haley.
Yeah.
And even go further back. And I know he didn't help him, like Johnny Manziel. Obviously he had his own issues. The Browns did him no favors either. We were an organization that I felt like that didn't take care of their own. We didn't have good leadership on the team to go out and do that kind of stuff. And I feel like that's completely changed. And you got to give credit to guys like Jarvis, even Baker, those kinds of guys started to like change the culture in terms of what it means to actually be a Brown and want to be a Brown. Yeah. And now you can bring guys who have had issues like this in, and they're not going to get worse. They're going to get better. Cleveland.
And now he can come pack his bags, get ready for the trip down to, what is it, Puerto Rico or wherever with Deshaun to go take a week with the offensive guys to really get together, practice on some things, and just get to know each other. And then they go to the Greenbrier as a team.
Yep.
You know, just all these things that different leaders, like you said, on the team are doing, it really does make a huge difference.
Yep. Moving on then, another guy, the Browns, potentially interested in. We heard the Wilkins thing. You went for the huge bag. The Browns weren't going to be in on that. Another name I'm seeing thrown around a lot out there is free agent DJ Reader. Played with the Bengals. This is probably my number one go get guy right now. Is it, could you imagine Miles, Dalvin, Reader, and then Z Smith, Alex Wright?
Yeah.
DJ Reader is.
He's a stud.
The games we played the Bengals, I was like, who is this guy? You know what I mean? I didn't even know who he was really. And I had I'm watching, he's single-handedly destroying us.
Yep.
And then I watched more Bengals games and I'm like, this guy's crazy.
Yeah. So we talked about DJ Reader a little bit on the After Hours. I like him too, obviously, as a player. So if you look at SpotTrack has his projected contract value at on average $15 million a year. So right now we're paying Dalvin Tomlinson 14. Do you think the Browns pay anywhere from $13 to $15 million a year on another defensive tackle?
I would, because I sound like Christopher Walken there. Because I would, because one, like having a stout defensive line is what this defense is built on.
It worked pretty well last year.
And we got a lot of wins because of this defense. And you have Amari Cooper locked up for this year. You got Jerry Jeudy for this year. You got everything you need. You know what I mean? So I really think you have to assume going into this season you're going to be healthy. This is your year to go for it. You know what I mean? Like you're in your window. You got everybody coming back healthy. I'd spend the money. You know what I mean? Like eventually we're going to have to do a retool and a reload. That's not now.
Yeah.
If you can make it work, go do it, because that defensive line could be nasty. And if teams can't run the ball on us and they're living in third and long, we saw what this pass rush can do and what guys like Emerson and Ward, what these guys can do in the back end to lock it down. Like I personally would do it. I know it's a lot to put on your defense, like a lot of money in your defensive line, but we have everything else locked up. We just need little role players here and there.
The only other name on defense that is going to have to get money at some point is going to be JOK.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But what were you going to say?
So we looked at over the cap earlier because we were just trying to get some updated salary cap numbers. And I don't know if it was updated with the Z numbers and the Hurst numbers and all that, but the last I saw was we were $5.5 million in the plus in the green. And the thing that's crazy is you're going to still see restructuring probably of Watson, Cooper,
Chubb.
I would guess Nick Chubb. So for me, like, I know I'm not a money guy. I always go, hey, we don't have any money. I don't know how we're going to keep spending money. But if Haslam's willing to keep writing checks, which credit to Jimmy Haslam, everybody kind of dogs on him. All this dude's done is just go, hey, yeah, restructure it. I'll sign the check right now.
Your post about him was great because you're right. He has learned just to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Just pay them. First of all, I understand earlier you had some dipshits in this front office and coaching staff. You got the right guys in here now. Get out of their way and let them work.
Yeah.
Well, and again, Jimmy and D Haslam were not great owners at first. They were minority owners in Pittsburgh, but this is the first time they had 100% control of their own team.
Yep.
They had no idea really what they were doing in terms of owning a team. They wanted to be in everything. You know, it's my team. I want to make sure. And they also know, like, they wanted to bring a winner and they weren't willing to be patient to do that. They were like, I got the money that, okay, this isn't working. Let's go on to the next one. This isn't working. Let's go on to the next one. And over time, which we felt the growing pains of it. Trust me, we know. But you can't say the guy isn't willing to put up the money, put people in place. He's been willing to admit when he's made a mistake.
Yep.
And he pays for that mistake. You know what I mean? Like, he's still paying guys that aren't even here anymore because he's willing to admit when he makes a mistake. He's not stubborn in that regard. Like, I don't know. I couldn't be happier with Jimmy Haslam the last 4 or 5 years, especially in terms of the flexibility he gives us. Like, the Bengals are doing like GoFundMes to try to keep players. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're going to have to use an air pump to pump up their practice facility underneath the highway. And we got a guy who's just giving out cash so we can manipulate the salary cap, make contracts work. So you can't complain about Jimmy Haslam right now.
No.
You might not like the way he does business. I don't care.
Yeah.
I like I'm not at the Better Business Bureau.
I'm a Browns fan.
Yeah. So I can't complain about Jimmy Haslam. So if they can make it work and you can get him here, that defensive line would be
crazy.
It would be nasty. Yeah. Like, I like these guys on the 1 year deals, and like Mo Hurst and Shelby Harris, man, DJ Reader with Tomlinson, oh my God, that'd be nuts.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DOGS, DAWGS, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over. So you get 10% off every order you make using code DOGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. Dangercoffee.com, code DOGS.
So I want to kind of transition then into just some of the other moves that we've seen around the league. I think the first one we should talk about that has some effect on the Browns is Russell Wilson going to the Steelers.
Yeah.
Does it move the needle? Because their division odds went from like 50-1 to 40-1 or something like that. It was not very big. It was like a small amount. Their Super Bowl odds didn't change at all. Vegas kept them at the exact same Super Bowl odds with Russell Wilson. So what do you guys think?
So me personally, I look at Russell Wilson. I don't think he's nearly the guy he was 4 or 5 years ago. Okay. But you're getting a proven veteran quarterback who we just talked about how bad the Denver situation was. This is a team that was in the playoffs last year with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. Like, to me, I think that it doesn't move the needle a ton for me, but I think that they it makes them like a wild card threat for sure. Like if all the pieces are still there and they're, you know, you still have the defense that's nice, and it's not like they're like missing weapons. They've got the weapons. We've always just said, well, their quarterback sucks, so we don't have to worry about the weapons. Like, I think that it's very interesting, and I'm guessing Russell Wilson will probably be the starting quarterback. I can't see.
There's no way he wouldn't be.
Right.
You know what I mean? No, there's no way. He's 100%
the starting quarterback.
Right. So for me, like, it does move the needle a little bit. I think it came down to what Fields, Russell Wilson. I was like a little nervous about either one of those guys, and you know.
So call me crazy, like to me, which Andrew, I'm going to get to your comment.
Yeah, Brad, you got that on your the comment. List. Yep.
Call me crazy. I think this makes like the Steelers way more scary.
Yeah,
I'm for like, sure. Maybe I'm weird, but were they not a tough out last year with
Mason Rudolph?
With Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett, they just need a guy to come in, distribute the ball, and not turn it over. Yep. Well, go look what Russell Wilson did. He got scapegoated so hard, and Sean Payton's just a tool. I mean, if you blind resume Russell's numbers with a lot of the top 10 quarterbacks last year, he's on par better than a lot of those guys. He had better numbers than Pat Mahomes in a lot of categories.
He had like a good completion percentage. His 26 touchdowns at 8 picks. Like,
it's nice.
That's pretty nice.
If the Pittsburgh Steelers would have had 26 and 8 out of Kenny Pickett last year, they win 12, 13 games.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. They're going to win 9 games no matter what.
With the defense.
Because of their head coach.
Quarterback. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, so to me, like, this, we just saw what he did against us with Denver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. And everybody kind of like thinks of, oh, Denver's terrible. They were in the mix last year. They started off awful, got blown out, and then they went on a hot streak where they were a dangerous team, man, and we ran into them and they looked good. But and I think I'm with you, man. I think it definitely moves the needle.
It was definitely something like I didn't want to happen.
For sure.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like he's going to take care of what, when Russell Wilson has had great defenses, he went to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
They have a great defense and they're going to continue to always have a great defense. I think he's the best quarterback they've had in a long time, because he might not be what he was, but Russell Wilson right now is better than Ben Roethlisberger the last 4 years of his career.
Yeah. So you're right. It's been a while since they've had a quarterback of this caliber. So it does. Yeah, it sucks.
With Deontay Johnson.
This is not not the guy I wanted to go there. I was pretty happy when the reports were coming out that they were good with their quarterback
room. Yes.
I was like, cool, yeah, keep it the same.
And no, yeah. Everybody talks shit too about Arthur Smith. Like Arthur Smith, the coordinator, like it's going to be very run heavy. There, you have two really good backs there in Harris and Warren. And like, I think for the first time in a while, like Russell Wilson's kind of got to like, a good offensive coach that can kind of just go, hey, you know, this is what I need you to do. I think that a lot of people don't like Arthur Smith, but like Arthur Smith, the coordinator, I think is a vast improvement of anybody that Russell Wilson's had the last few years. I think it'll be
good. Sean Payton's pretty good at offense.
Yeah. But I mean,
he just solidifies the AFC North is going to again be a freaking gauntlet, and it's
100%.
Yeah.
Anybody who thinks that he's not a huge improvement over who they've had and they've already been tough outs, you're lying to yourself.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Russell Wilson's going to come out and be a Pro Bowler MVP candidate, but he's going to certainly be better than anything they've had the last 6 years.
That's fair.
And they've been tough outs those last 6 years. So I wasn't excited to see Russell Wilson go there.
No, I wasn't either.
So kind of touching on some stuff that feeds off that, are the Bears kind of killing themselves by not moving? If they're going to trade Justin Fields, the two teams you heard who had the most interest in him were the Falcons and the Steelers. And now they both got quarterbacks. So if they want to trade Fields, what are they going to get for him now?
Well, we were talking earlier about now it could open up an avenue for Minnesota.
Okay, I guess.
I thought for a while, like whoever lost... I didn't expect the Steelers to get Russell Wilson. So I kind of figured whoever lost that contest of the Kirk Cousins, you know, and I figured honestly, like Russell Wilson, like the loser of that would probably then have to like go kind of not all in, but they would have to start getting aggressive and make a move for Justin Fields, or because there's no other quarterbacks now. Like he's it. Unless you're going to draft one or move up in the draft to take one of the top four guys, that's the guy. So, I mean,
this says the Bears hose them. So I agree. And I'm on the, I would just keep Justin Fields.
I don't know if you can now. I feel like they've burnt the bridge with him. There's relationship point, with him is really bad.
Especially because they're keeping the coaching staff that really has done them kind of like
dirty,
not done them any favors in terms of play calling or anything like that. Yeah, I don't know. Like, Chicago's a dumpster fire. And Caleb Williams, if he comes in, they're just going to ruin him. Like, they ruin every single quarterback.
And everything I've kind of heard from him and about him, I question whether or not he can mentally handle that sort of
like adversity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they couldn't win games in the Pac-12 and he was kind of like a little butthurt. You know what I mean? Yeah, what's he going to do when they start 0-8? You know what I mean? Yeah. So, we'll see. It's kind of crazy because you've had like DJ Moore really talking about how should be just keeping Justin Fields, all this stuff. I want to talk about Andrew's comment before we get. He said, how do you guys feel about trading Newsom, about rumors of trading Newsom? It's one of those things where I don't want Greg Newsom to go anywhere.
All right, I'm with you.
You know what I mean? I don't, but I think if you're a good GM, you're listening to calls. And if somebody calls you or you're making calls and something that is just too good to pass up pops up, I think you got to pull the trigger. If you don't think he's going to come back long-term anyways, you got to get something for him. I don't want him to leave. I know he's maybe the third best corner on our team, but we have really good corners.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He's actually a pretty darn good cornerback. Yes. So he got beat a few times. What cornerback doesn't? Mm-hmm. And yes, it was in some bad spots. That's just the way it played out.
Yeah, he also played really well at times.
Yes, he did. He's played very well his entire career, I feel like, so far.
And I like his swagger. I think the guys like him. I think he's kind of like an energy guy, and he kind of rallies the troops. Like, so I don't want Greg Newsom to go anywhere. I think he likes being in Cleveland. I like guys who like being in Cleveland. But if you think you're gonna lose him anyways, and somebody friggin' rocks your socks with an offer, I think you have to make that move.
So if I were doing this in Andrew Berry's shoes, what I'd probably do is something similar to what like the Broncos did last year with Jerry Jeudy. So pick up his fifth year option. So that guarantees him $13.4 million next year. You're not going to pay less than that for a good starting outside cornerback. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So that's not like a super high price to have Greg Newsom's worth that, in my opinion. And then you kind of shop him this year a little bit. And if you say, hey, I want a first round pick for him, kind of like the Broncos did with Jeudy. And teams, if someone says, yeah, okay, cool, take it if you want it. But if they say, no, that's too high of an asking price, then just wait till next year when he's on that fifth year option, try again. If you're looking to move him if you're not planning on signing him long term.
Because corners miss games
all the time. You know
what I mean? Denzel Ward's had concussion issues. I don't want Denzel Ward to go down, and we're bringing in some guy I've never heard of off the practice
squad. That's a good point, because with Ward's concussion history, losing a guy like Newsom would be, without a guy that you're confident in replacing him.
Ugh. If there's a position you can't have too many good players, it's in the secondary.
Yes.
Because those guys get hurt. Sometimes they're smaller. They're coming up in run support against guys like Chubb, Derrick Henry. You know what I mean? Like, they get hurt.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to go from great one corners to one injury, and now they just can pick on one guy on one side of the field the entire game.
Mike Ford, we saw what happens when we get in these situations. It's not pretty.
Yeah. So, I think you have to entertain offers, but I'm not looking to just dump them. It's got to be really worth the juice has to be worth the squeeze.
Okay.
Exactly. That's a Girl Next Door reference.
Okay.
I mean, like, draft compensation wise, you've got to be thinking, well, if we trade him, I'm shooting to draft his replacement.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So you want a first round pick, a high second round pick, something where it's, I know that there are players projected in this round that I've scouted that I like. Otherwise, you're right. Why move a guy that you know you're going to need?
Yep.
Did anybody get their voicemails in on time? Do we have them?
That would be a negative. Okay. Sorry, fellas. Sorry, guys.
If they're not week specific, we'll play them next week. I don't know if we even got to listen to them.
I haven't even had a chance to listen to them yet.
Yeah. So sorry, guys. You didn't get your voicemails in on time. Get your shit together. if they're not like week specific, we'll play them again next week.
Yeah.
And if they are week specific, just leave us another one sooner and we'll play.
Just say the same exact thing. And yeah. Then there you go. You're good.
So a couple other things, another in division situation, which made me chuckle, is T. Higgins requesting a trade.
Yep.
Cause they franchise tagged him, and a lot of Bengals fans talked all their shit about, oh, we're keeping him, blah, blah, blah. Now we just got to go. And then he requests a trade, and it's because they can't afford him, cause they're broke and they're poor. And it's funny to me. It's very, very funny.
Did you see he came out and said that he hasn't had long-term discussions
in a year.
Yeah. Since what? March?
What? Yeah. March 2023.
Yeah. He's like, I love being here. I don't want to leave here, but you basically ghosted me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think he wants to be a one somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that he wants to just always have to be, you know, Jamar Chase's sidekick. I don't think that's because he could go be a one somewhere.
I hope they lose him. And is Mixon gone, or are they bringing him back?
Mixon's probably gone.
Yeah, okay. I would think,
Listen.
They just lost Awuzie, too.
Yeah, I like Joe Burrow. I think he's good. But we've never seen Joe Burrow play without having the best players ever. You know what I mean? Like, we did his first year at LSU, and he was mediocre. And then he had Jefferson and Jamar Chase and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and they went off. And then he comes to the NFL, and he has T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon, Jamar Chase. And it's like, oh, he just immediately gets to play with maybe the best skill position group in the NFL again. This guy hasn't played football without having the best wide receivers and running backs at his disposal since he played at LSU the first year, where he was just very blah. And before that, he couldn't get on the field at Ohio State over Dwayne Haskins. So I'm not saying Joe Burrow is going to be bad. I think he's good. Yeah. I like Joe Burrow. He's an Ohio kid, you know, mm-hmm. And yeah, when he has success, not against the Browns, I'm happy for him. So don't come at me, Cincy fans, but I'm just very curious to see. I mean, he's still going to have Jamar Chase, but is Boyd gone?
I think Boyd's probably gone.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Jamar Chase in what?
Charlie Jones.
What's the other? What's the kid from Princeton's name?
Yoshivas.
Yeah.
Yoshivas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't think their offense is very creative. I think their offense has been a lot of, we just have really good skill players.
And Callahan's gone.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's... I'm very curious to see what we get out of the Bengals offense this year.
Do you think they actually trade him?
I guess it depends on how, like, is he going to sit? Is he going to say, I'm not playing?
Yeah. And then, I mean, if he does get traded, I don't think that they're going to trade to anybody in the AFC. He's going to have to go to, like, I keep seeing people say, oh, the Chiefs. And I'm like, they're not going to trade him to their rival. They hate the Chiefs.
There's a reason that if they were going to do something like, they just would have let him go.
Yeah.
They franchise tag him so they can control what they do with him. They're not going to let him go to the Chiefs. They see the Chiefs as like their number one roadblock to the Super Bowl.
It's funny because whenever they first tagged him, I posted about it on Twitter and said, well, you know, he's not going to hit free agency. I wonder if this will be a tagging trade. And of course, like you said, the Bengals fans, oh, no, they're not trading him. Are you kidding? He's going to be here, blah, blah, blah. Looks like a tagging trade.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't go to like Carolina or something like that.
Or I hope they don't pull off. I mean, they won't do it because if they're not going to pay him, they're not going to pay this guy. But I was going to say like something crazy where they offer like him and a first round pick and something for Justin Jefferson.
No, because that would require paying Justin Jefferson a shit ton of money and Jamar Chase. Correct. They're not going to do it. So,
no.
But you're right. I could see him doing something spiteful where it's like, we're going to ship you off like people used to do. We're going to send you to Cleveland. We're going to send you to Carolina. We're going to send you to some shitty NFC team.
I still look for the Chiefs to like, this is just all conjecture and just me guessing, but I would not be shocked, especially with Minnesota potentially like in total rebuild mode right now, to see them really push to try to make a move for Justin Jefferson. Cause he's not going to resign if they're in a rebuild. He's basically,
and why would you pay $30 million a year for a receiver when you don't even have a quarterback?
Correct. So it's one of the, they're going to have money. like I would not be shocked if you see them do something crazy.
It's gonna be one of Blake's hot takes that we hear about for the next 5 years.
Yeah. Remember when I told you about if it happened. Justin Jefferson.
I have nothing to back that, nothing to substantiate that, just based on reputation in terms of I just can't see the Chiefs sitting on their hands and being willing to roll the dice with another terrible wide receiver core. They already cut MVS. You know Tony's gonna be gone. Like yeah. I see they got Kelce another year. Maybe two max. Yep. Then you got Pat Mahomes and they got Pacheco, who's really compliments them.
Yeah.
They want to capitalize Mahomes and Reed and Kelce. I could see that. I mean, if they went, man.
I know you said you're basing that off nothing, but the situation for both teams, the for cap sure. space, having Patrick Mahomes, I mean, it's not an outlandishly wild thing to speculate about.
I just can't see it. And they're aggressive. You know what I mean? So it'd be...
Hey, that'd be sweet for my dynasty team.
It would be wild. I don't want it to happen.
Dynasty team too.
I don't want it to happen because it makes the Brown, but the just the pure football fan side of me wants to be like, what would these two?
What if?
What would these? Two oh, that'd
be
do?
Stupid, bro.
Dumb. It'd be like Moss Brady.
Be mad.
Oh, yeah. If not,
but more because but better. Yeah, because now it's a more pass heavy league.
Yes. Yeah. And like Mahomes is a better dynamic quarterback in terms of just skill than Tom Brady was.
There's an extra game. Oh, yep. Man.
So that would be crazy. I got about 3 minutes here. The last thing I want to talk about, what did you guys think then of the Cousins to the Falcons move? Because I think it makes them very interesting.
Bro, they're dangerous.
I like what they did with their coaching staff.
Yeah.
Who did they go get? I forget.
Dean Morris.
Yep.
Okay.
And they brought in Zach Robinson
yep.
for the offensive coordinator spot.
Okay. The guy LA. From L.A. So they got some young, they got a defensive head coach, but they brought it. I think if you're going to go defensive head coach, you got to bring in that like young, smart whiz guy to run your offense,
uh-huh.
to be creative. And Kirk Cousins is just a pro. Yeah. People like to shit on Kirk Cousins, but if you just put his numbers up and his, he's been a top 7 to 10 quarterback every year since he's been in Minnesota.
I think they said Raheem Morris was in Washington.
When
Kirk Cousins okay. was, and there was a relationship or something there that might have contributed to the signing.
And if they're going to actually get Bijan the ball and you can get Drake London going, finally Kyle Pitts fantasy owners yes. might finally have finally. A reason to play him.
Yeah.
Like
finally.
That's it. That's poor Tampa. You know what I mean? Like well, they go and they and good for Baker, he gets his deal. But they ran through that division cuz it was so shitty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now like they got some competition in that division
yeah.
now. Like the Falcons, if I had to pick today, I'd probably pick them to win it.
Yeah.
So it's they got the best quarterback in the division now, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I'd things say so. Considered, depending on how he is coming off the injury, Baker be, you know, probably he's probably second. Not probably, he definitely is second. So and good for by the way, good for Baker, got his deal. We were never anti Baker. We just anti Baker continuing to be on the Browns.
That's right.
I kind of feel anti
Baker. And I'm anti like Baker stands telling us how stupid the Browns are, even though two other teams let him go since we're not the last team he was on.
And but, I will just throw this out there for everybody watching right now, listening. Baker has yet to have back to back. Good seasons in his NFL career. So if he has a great season this year for Tampa Bay, that would be breaking his trend, which has been, 7 years now or so in the NFL. So
good for them, though, not only to sign him, but then they kept Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That definitely helps.
Oh, it does. Mike Evans is first ballot Hall of Fame.
It's harder to have a bad season if you have Mike Evans. So,
yeah.
I just want to cover all that stuff. Gabe Davis also went to the Jags.
Yep.
Which we were kind of happy about. We didn't know if we really wanted him, and some people kind of pegged him as a target for the Browns.
And remember, they projected him at $13.6 million,
which
13. Yeah. With a chance for it to be even more because it was like 39 over 3 years with a chance to go to 50 with incentives and stuff. So I had a little too rich for the Browns, I think.
But like you said, I saw you mention this on Twitter, is it could free up somebody like a Zay Jones off that team, who I think could slide in and would be a very good fit for the Browns. See, even with the addition of Judy, the Browns still desperately need a downfield burner.
And you talked about this when we did the Ayuk stuff, and we talked about Gabe Davis / Stephon Diggs and that kind of conversation a couple weeks ago. We need competent depth at wide receiver. We're just not getting that with David Bell and some of these guys, unfortunately. Bring in Zay Jones would be a great name. We mentioned Curtis Samuel. I like those kind of players to come in and compliment your top guys, Amari, you know, Elijah, Jerry Jeudy, David. at the tight end, and then you bring some of these other complementary pieces that you know can get the job done.
And Zay Jones could come on this team, be a fourth option, but who gets in there and sees 20 snaps a game because of his speed and puts up 400 yards and 5 touchdowns this year.
Wouldn't be surprised to see him have 2 or 3 games where he's over 100 yards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That kind of player. That's what we need.
As a fantasy owner, I'd just like to see him on the field.
Yeah, this is true. But the last one was Saquon to the Eagles. We'll take a minute here. We already kind of touched on it early at the beginning. Huge FU to the Giants.
Yep.
And his contract is the reason why some of these top-end backs are just not – were never in play for the Browns.
Yep.
Now, I think the only one who could potentially maybe still get on a deal, would you guys kick around the tires on Derrick Henry?
100%. Would you?
I keep hearing he's going to Baltimore.
Baltimore,
or Dallas? You talk
about kicking the tires? For sure I would.
Who would you take right now, him or Aaron Jones?
For what the Browns offense wants to be and what I want it to be myself, I would take Aaron Jones.
Yeah,
I want the speed. I want the shiftiness. I want pass the pass catching.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I could see us being a wide open attack, though, in Derrick Henry being like our Isaiah Pacheco.
I wouldn't hate it.
He's just like a bet. Like, they're finesse, spread. They break huddles while twisting. Like, finesse. Patrick Mahomes is doing his sidearm throws. And then they got that guy that they just – he's a battering ram. He's like the bully of the team. I could see Derrick Henry kind of complimenting our, like, a finesse wide open style in that way. But I agree. Like, I think Aaron Jones would fit what we want to do philosophically better. Mm-hmm. And I think he has probably more juice left than Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
But I would not say no to either one and for the right deal.
No, because I think, for like you're saying, with each guy's style of play and what they do very well, I think they can still do it very well, at least for another year.
Yeah.
At their ages.
I agree. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap this thing up. We like to keep these right around an hour. I know you guys might have forgot since we took 2 weeks off.
Just one week,
I guess. Again, thank you guys for being here. We appreciate you guys spending time with us in the off season. Free agency still going crazy. Yeah. I'm sure like 50 people were signed by we're doing this episode.
For sure.
Hopefully the Browns more active heading into tomorrow on day 2 of free agency. Look for them to make some more moves. Again, don't panic that they're not going crazy. That means that we're a good team and we don't have huge holes to fill.
That's something I did want to mention. I'm glad you said that, because the areas where, like, analytically it says you pay stud players money on your football team, the Browns have all those spots covered.
Yes.
So that's why you're not seeing these huge free agent splashes from the Browns, because we don't really need them. So I like that.
Yeah. So be patient. Let Andrew Berry cook, as the kids would say. and hopefully we add a couple nice depth pieces. Be excited about heading into next week. Again, we appreciate you guys being here. If you want to get voicemails talking about any of these guys we have signed already that we already talked about, or anybody that we might pick up in the next week, head to thedogspodcast.com and tap leave voicemail, the drop down menu. Let us know what you guys think of those signings. And if you do it before, show day Monday next week at 4:00, we'll actually be able to play them for you and we'll be able to have them ready. So get us your voicemails in a timely manner if you want to get your thoughts on the show. Again, we appreciate you guys being here, and we'll see you guys all next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.